I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World on your radio. For our 50 States project, we're visiting every state in the nation, looking at how a shrinking global economy is impacting communities all across America. Today, we head to Cordova, Alaska, population 2,205. Like many American small towns, Cordova has lost out to overseas manufacturing. But in this case, we're not talking TVs or cars. We're talking fish, salmon. And the good folks in Cordova, they went from fighting global competition to embracing it to an extent. The World's Jason Margolis has our story.
40 years ago, Alaska had a near monopoly supplying the world with salmon. But then Norwegian fishermen began experimenting with salmon farming, raising fish in enclosed ocean pens. By the 90s, salmon farming had taken off, not just in Norway, but also in Canada, Scotland, and Chile. As global supplies skyrocketed, Alaska salmon prices plummeted.
How much did they fall?
That's Gunnar Knapp, an economist and fisheries expert with the University of Alaska, Anchorage.
In 1988, the price of for sockeye salmon in Alaska was well over $2 a pound. By about 2000, the price had fallen to 40 cents a pound.
That's like going from earning $50,000 a year to $10,000. So why on earth did Mike Mahoney move to Alaska to fish salmon at that very moment?
I didn't really know any better because I came up here from Minnesota and I just thought I'd give it a whirl. It was easier to buy in at that time because it was so depressed.
In Alaska, commercial fishermen have to buy permits. When Mahoney moved to Cordova, the area was still also recovering from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Despite it all, for Mahoney, it was an easy call. He looks around at the harbor and mountains. It's shockingly beautiful.
I love my job. Yeah. It's pretty wonderful what we get to do here. Just being able to have the freedom to move around and to be able to go hunt for the fish. I actually really enjoy that part of it.
Alaskan fishermen spending days at sea, sleeping on small vessels. It's a romantic image. Modern salmon farming? That's a different visual. A guy at a computer monitors the fish with underwater cameras. When it's feeding time, he presses a button, and long tubes deliver food to tens of thousands of fish swimming in enclosed areas, sunken pens often the size of a basketball court. Salmon farming has been criticized for years for overusing antibiotics, harboring diseases, and allowing fish to escape and contaminate or crossbreed with wild stocks. The industry is trying to address the problems, working with environmental NGOs to adopt more stringent standards. I asked Mahoney what he thinks of farm salmon.
I don't know. I mean, I do sort of see them as competition, but I'm not here to trash those guys either. But you could think of these salmon farms as confinement feedlots, and if you wanted to use that analogy.
Mahoney's ambivalence isn't unique around here. I visited Copper River Seafoods production facility. Workers wielding knives rapidly pluck and gut salmon from an assembly line.
So the fillets go down and they'll trim the bellies.
CEO Scott Blake is a fourth-generation fisherman. He says competition from farm salmon nearly crashed the Alaskan market in the 1990s. And yet, he too is ambivalent about all that global competition.
I hate to say this, I think it's helped us.
Why do you say I hate to say this, but it's helped?
There's such a stigmatism in Alaska that farm salmon is the evil. And whether we like it or we don't like it, it's always going to be here. We compete for the center of the plate. We compete against chicken, beef, pork, farm salmon, other protein resources.
Blake and many other Alaska salmon fishermen, they want more people eating salmon. Alaska does use hatcheries, growing and releasing young salmon into the wild to increase stocks. Still, there's just not enough wild Alaska salmon to go around. I stand on a bridge over the Copper River with Krista Hoover as salmon return from the ocean and swim upriver to spawn. Hoover markets salmon for the area's fishermen. She says after people get a taste for the more plentiful and cheaper farm stuff, she wants them to sample Alaskan, what many here bill as the French wine of salmon.
I would say that's a fair analogy, yeah. Consumers that have a sophisticated palate, they look for the best in their particular category, whether it's coffee or wine or beef.
I ask her to describe how Alaska wild salmon is better.
It's richer. It has a deeper, truer salmon flavor. It definitely has a mouthfeel that's different. It's silkier.
This sales pitch seems to be working. The price for Alaskan salmon has rebounded in the past few years. It's also been helped by a drop in worldwide supplies. Sea lice outbreaks on salmon farms in Scotland, Norway, and Canada, and an algal bloom in Chile have depressed worldwide stocks. Taya Thomas has been fishing the waters around Cordova since the 1980s. She was bringing her boat back into the docks during the early evening when we met.
It was not a very good day. I got about 400 pounds.
400 pounds. And what is it selling for? How much a pound?
The sockeye are selling for about, I think they're $275 a pound.
So you made $1,000?
Yeah. It was okay. I made some money. I mean, I paid for fuel and made some money, so.
$1,000 might sound like a lot of cash for a day's work, but that's not all profit. And Thomas can only fish for about 5 months a year, working long hours. She has plenty of downtime, though. She casts her gill net about once an hour and then waits.
So I made, I don't know, I made probably at least 10 sets today or maybe 9 sets.
So what do you do? What do you do when the net is out there and you're just waiting?
Well, I should be reading my book, but today I was listening to an audiobook. So I do that a lot.
When it comes to salmon farming, she wasn't ambivalent. I told her that I'd asked another Cordova fisherman if he'd consider farming salmon.
No. Okay, what did he say?
Well, let me ask you, why don't you just become a salmon farmer? It's so much easier.
Oh, but it's not even comparable. First of all, you know, I am against salmon farms, even though I shouldn't really be saying that. But, I mean, when I see what they're doing to the coastlines, and they're not good for the environment, and I really don't think that the product is that great. Whereas here we are in Alaska.
For Thomas, it's about fishing sustainably, delivering tastier salmon, and ultimately preserving jobs.
You're supporting these wonderful coastal communities in Alaska, which is this, you know, we don't want to see this lifestyle go away.
Nor does the state of Alaska. It's banned finfish farming since 1990. But even Thomas grudgingly concedes there's a place for the farm stuff, as long as it's better controlled. And again, if it gets more people eating salmon, that's good for Alaskan fishermen. For The World, Jason Margolis, Cordova, Alaska.
If you have a story idea about how your town has changed in the era of hyper-globalization, drop us a line. We consider all submissions, and we may even come to visit. Really?
Hello?
Hi, I'm trying to reach Steve, please.
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, I'm just responding to your submission on our 50 States web page.
Just go to pri.org/50states to find out how to be a part of our project.